Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Recovery Radio broadcast recorded live at the Latah Recovery Center in beautiful downtown Moscow, Idaho. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, strength, insight, and hope for continuing recovery. I have an announcement for you today. Soups On is coming back. That's right, Soups On is back after last year's COVID cancellation. We're teaming up with a half a dozen local restaurants to serve different types of soups and breads at the 1912 Center on October 27th. Tickets for the event are $20 and are available now at the Latah Recovery Center. Come and support the Recovery Center while enjoying one or more bowls of delicious soup and breads. Invite your friends or coworkers and make a date of it. Most of all, help to support the Latah Recovery Center and all the work we do for our community. And if you want tickets, you can email Daryl at LatahRecoveryCenter@gmail.com, and he will get together with you to get those tickets to you. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Center located at 531 South Main in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at LatahRecoveryCenter@gmail.com. And you can find them on the web at LatahRecoveryCenter.org and on Facebook. And I am Radio Johnny, and I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly helpless state of mind and body. And today's guest is Genevieve, and Genevieve is a returning guest. She's been on our show a couple of times, and she was on one of our very early shows in 2018. And then we had her again on last year during COVID. She was good enough to come in and be here with Denise and I and Jeff. Genevieve, great to see you again. I'm so happy you could make it in today.
It's great to be here again. I'm always excited to come talk to everyone and share my story and just talk about how wonderful recovery is and how it's helped me through some of the hardest times of my life.
Fantastic, fantastic. And, you know, as I recall, your story goes long and deep. I'm going to let you, why don't you give us a little bit of background, and then we'll change it up, kind of fast forward to today, and talk about your incredibly successful life at this point.
Awesome. That sounds great. So I think what a lot of people don't realize is recovery in the present sort of stems from issues that happened in the past. So when I walked into CR almost 4 years ago now.
And CR is Celebrate Recovery?
Yes, it's okay. Celebrate Recovery. And now it's transitioned to Restoration Night on Thursday nights. That's where I attend. So when I walked into CR, I was dealing with my present situations, my present hurts and hangups. I had some spiritual confusion. I was in a toxic relationship. There was a history of abuse, and I was reactive and partially responsible for that abuse too. But those things actually stemmed from childhood and hurts that happened then. So, you know, I grew up with parents that had explosive anger and mental health issues that weren't dealt with. So there was physical abuse, there was emotional abuse. I had to hide, or I had to be good to just sort of maintain myself. So those are the coping skills that I learned. And I brought all of those skills with me through my life as a teenager. I brought them into adulthood until my life got to a place where I was depressed. I was living in shame. Nothing was working. My marriage was falling apart. I felt inadequate as a parent. I was just struggling. And I didn't know where to go. I had some friends that went to Celebrate Recovery, so I walked through that door, and I really learned just life skills to be a healthier person. I learned how to see my part in my journey. You know, we take ourselves wherever we go.
Right, right. That's something I really believe in, that a friend of mine said, you know, no matter where you go, there you are.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, and through my life, I've found myself saying, why is this happening again? Well, it's about that mirror.
That's right.
You know, it was a pattern that I didn't have a skill for. You know, there was a wound and I put a Band-Aid on it instead of getting good healing for it because I didn't know how. So I learned how to be a safe person. I learned how to admit my faults. I learned how to hear hard truths from safe people. I learned what a safe person was. And in that, I learned that I wasn't safe either for other people.
Maybe expand on that a little bit, a safe person.
So I'm really glad that you asked me that. So a safe person is someone that is trustworthy. They will be a vault for you and respect your privacy. A safe person will listen without criticizing or judging. A safe person will have empathy. And if you ask them for help, they'll do what they can within limits to help you, but they won't enable. So help is not enable. Those are two very different things. They'll let you work through your emotions. They will not try and save you from yourself, but they might offer suggestions or say, hey, do you want a suggestion for that? Typically, a safe person has been on a journey themselves and just live through situations and learn skills. And that is why they can help you in that spot that you're in.
Right, right. In the AA program, we would refer to that person as a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a sponsor does all those things. I like the expression you use, they are a vault. That gives, conjures up an incredible image of
right.
What kind of sacred trust
yes.
You have to expect mm-hmm. from somebody who you call safe and I would call a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
In AA, we call it house cleaning,
uh-huh.
cleaning up your side of the street, you know,
yes.
admitting your own character defects and learning how to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's, yeah, I'm glad you clarified that, and I'm going to use that from now on.
Do it.
You know, you have to be a vault for me.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Can I add one thing to that,
sure
though?
Sure you can.
Along with being a vault, so I've been a sponsor before as I've come through Celebrate Recovery. In October will be my fourth year there. So I've sponsored.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I've sponsored a few people. Along with that also comes a responsibility, and I like to tell my sponsees, you know, I am safe for you unless you're going to hurt yourself or someone else because I care about you that much. So that's one caveat that I like people to know. And I'll show up
right.
in that moment too, but we're going to get you the help that you need because some things are bigger than a sponsor or a friend.
Right,
yeah.
Right, absolutely. When I sponsor men, typically when we go through the fourth step, which is the fearless moral inventory of yourself,
mm-hmm.
You know, ask them up front, have you ever committed murder? Because
mm-hmm.
that's something that needs to be addressed. And if the answer is yes, I suggest I know people in the program who have dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
I am not qualified. I don't have that experience.
Right.
And, you know, one of the requirements for sponsorship you laid out, you know, people who have had that lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I might defer to somebody else to come in and co-sponsor
right.
to go through that fourth step
mm-hmm.
Because I've never had to confront that
right.
that I know of.
Right. Absolutely. And that's another sign of a safe person is sort of knowing the limit of their capacity of who they can help appropriately.
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead. Carry on. And you found that safe person and you started working with them.
Yeah, I did. And she invited me to a new church and to meetings. And I started in an open share group. And at least at Celebrate Recovery, open share group is if you're not in a structured class. So if you're not in a step study or a boundaries class or something like that, you can walk into an open share group every Thursday night and just talk about your week or, you know, whatever issue you want to bring up. But, you know, some people might talk about something going on with their kid or some grief that they're struggling with or self-harm or an eating disorder. Really everything or anything can show up in that group. And for me, even learning how to share was a skill because I was coming out of a place that wasn't safe. So I couldn't share and I didn't know how. I was reactive and resentful and scared. So that in itself was a comfort. And I learned so much just from watching other women.
All these programs, and I'll make an assumption about CR based on my knowledge of it, but it's very much like AA with a very nice biblical twist to it. You're learning how to live life on life's terms.
Yes.
And when you talk about the baggage that you were carrying around, the reactive thinking and all the other things you listed, all those are learned behaviors and they have to be unlearned. And the only way you can really unlearn something is to find something that's healthy to replace it with. If you're a chronic eater, you can replace that time you spend eating with jogging or walking or running or whatever. But you need to replace, you know, those unhealthy habits with healthy ones.
Yes.
Now that doesn't go across the spectrum to hurts. You have to look at hurts. And how did you look at your hurts? You talked about you brought things from your childhood.
Right.
And I'm sure those were probably hurts.
They were absolutely hurts. And the thing with hurts that I discovered is that hurts sort of send you on a trajectory. They affect how you think. They affect what you do. The hurt itself might happen in 10 seconds, but at least as a child, that coping skill that happened to me and those hurts just went with me, and I didn't have a different skill. So how I learned to cope with hurts in Celebrate Recovery was really just to admit that they were there, that they were that they happened at all, that the people that loved me didn't have good skills to love properly, that what I experienced wasn't love and wasn't safe. And sort of working through all of that, I just had a new perspective of my parents and maybe some things that they went through. And that brought some empathy, you know, and that was great for a relationship with my mom. We've had to have some hard talks, but overall it's been good for everyone. It's gotten rid of resentments and those sorts of things.
Right, right. And growing up as a child, I grew up in a fairly dysfunctional alcoholic household. And when we're little, even if it isn't a hurt, we learn by observation. And men and women yell at each other. That's what they do. It took me a long time to break that habit, to learn to communicate in a softer, gentler way, and to be able to say to my wife, you know, that, hey, what you're saying right now really, really hurts my feelings. And if you explain what your concern is, maybe we don't have to yell at each other about that. Maybe we can find common ground or work on that and get past it. You know, if it's something I'm doing that you're unhappy with, tell me exactly what it is. Don't just say, oh, you're just like your dad, you know, which is, you know, a little accusatory, but unfortunately, you know, it's true. Of course I'm like my dad. I'm like my mom.
We're all programmed with our parents. There's no way to get around that.
That's right.
That's all we had.
That's right. It's learned behavior. And, you know, a lot of the behavior I learned as a small child was to basically to run away, to isolate, go into my bedroom, close the door and go, na, 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 so I couldn't hear the disturbances going on in the other room.
So you learned to live in denial and to avoid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because I had no tools to deal with it at 5 years old, 6 years old.
Yep. Well, the fact that you said that's great, because that is how hurts happen to children. And one of the things I learned was that children are absolutely 100% powerless in their situation. And that was a relief, because I feel like for a lot of my adult life, I'd look back at these things and go, why didn't I do this? Because I was six.
Right.
Because I didn't know, because I couldn't, because adults are bigger, because they're stronger, because your parents are supposed to protect you. And when they don't, you don't have the skills to work around that.
And you're absolutely reliant on them for everything.
Everything. Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Their job, basically, I heard a comedian say it and it kind of cracked me up. He gave his daughter a list of things to do, three things. And she goes, well, where's your list? And he said, my list is everything that's not on your list.
My list is everything else.
Yeah. He said, essentially, my list is one thing, keep her alive.
Right.
Until you're 18.
Until
and
you're
that's
18.
Coming up pretty soon. So pay attention.
That's great.
Yeah. So, you know, and you depend on your parents to keep you alive.
Mm-hmm.
When things start going obviously wrong, or they get loud or scary, just scary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, you have no tools to deal with that.
Right.
You know, as I got older and I started, you know, hanging out a lot at my friend's house because he had fairly sane parents.
Right.
who you know, cared a lot about their kids and were involved with them. I honestly thought that was weird.
Right. I think healthy behaviors and healthy relationships, even for me at least, felt really uncomfortable in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Because in a healthy relationship, there's honesty, there's transparency, there's kind and gentle confrontation. And when you don't have that skill, I felt like invaded almost.
Mm-hmm.
Until I went, oh, wait a minute. This isn't that thing I went through, you know, 20 years ago. This is okay. I'm safe right now. Oh, this is just a conversation. Oh, awesome. But it took a lot of work to get there. And it still does. I'll still have conversations with, you know, friends on the phone. And maybe we're talking about like a bump that we had in our relationship or whatever. And I have to go, oh, this is really good. We're just talking about this. And sometimes it feels easy to go back into those defensive or reactive patterns.
Sure. Well, yeah, when you grow up with a set of tools, I mean, you just told me you just had a birthday, and we won't say which one, but it's a significant one, and, you know, I'm 66 years old, and I have carried those habits. They still show up.
Mm-hmm.
Reactionary behavior still shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Quite some time since, you know, I severed the living environment with the parents and headed out on my own.
Right.
That's ingrained. That's way back there in the files.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it was
under,
in that foundational programming.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
It's in the code.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, yeah, I understand what you say when you say I need to constantly, you know, check myself.
Mm-hmm.
In AA, we call it a tenth step, where we review our day and find out where we may have harmed somebody else in some way or form. It could have been just an inappropriate laugh.
Right.
You know, someone runs into a sliding glass door. It's natural to laugh.
Right.
But you might want to immediately go over and say,
hurt.
Are you okay?
Right.
You know, even if you're still laughing. You know?
Right.
But, you know, we review those things and we look at, you know, what we could have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then decide if an amends is necessary for it.
Right.
Which is a great tool. It's one thing I hate about the program of AA is I have to make amends for things I do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I hate making amends.
It's hard.
So I work really hard at not putting myself in the position to have to make more amends on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken some time. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I've got really good at making amends. So still, it's still a pain. And I don't want to do it. I don't like it. I don't want to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I keep working at it.
Uh-huh. Well, I think, too, a skill I learned in CR is to keep working at it. When you fall down, you just get back up. And I don't know what happens in sort of human development, but when babies fall down and they're learning to walk, we cheer them on and we clap and it's cute and it's exciting. But when adults fall down and get up, there can be criticism, there can be judgment. They're just learning. Like, failure is learning and it's a part of life. And my perspective on failure has even changed to, okay, what did I learn from this and what's the next step? And I'm just going to keep on moving. But that really started showing up to CR when I didn't want to, when I didn't have my homework done, when I had a craptastic day and I just wanted to watch TV in my pajamas, but I just dragged my butt in there and I developed a new pattern that was really healthy. So it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. We find out in AA that when they talk about alcohol really only being a symptom of the problem, you know, had I not gotten into that program, not only did it help me break that obsession I had to drink alcohol in an incredibly unhealthy way, but it also taught me how to, like you said earlier, gain empathy, to reach out and give of myself, mm-hmm. rather than just being totally self-centered. Had I just stopped drinking, that would have been okay, but I still would have been the same selfish, self-centered person mm-hmm. I had always been. Mm-hmm. I would not have addressed any of the character defects that I have. I would not be here today doing this mm-hmm. this radio program, especially not for the 3.5 years we've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That just would not have been on my radar at all.
Right.
So it's not just, like I said, not just the cessation of the either abusive behavior or the ingestion of alcohol. There's more work to be done to be into recovery.
Absolutely. There was a CR leadership training last year, and one of my biggest takeaways was that sobriety is not recovery, right? And that was huge for my brain, because I haven't had like a chemical addiction like alcoholism. So I walked into CR for codependency and spiritual stuff and anxiety and guilt and being addicted to toxic relationships. So it was like a behavioral thing, but that still applies. I can still be sober from my toxic relationship, but it doesn't mean I'm healed.
No.
And getting healthy.
Right.
It means I haven't filled that space with a healthy choice or a healthy pattern like you had mentioned before, mm-hmm. you know, filling that void and learning how to make those good choices
right.
is necessary.
So mm-hmm. would you classify your recovery as one from a mental health perspective?
I think in lots of ways, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it's important to say that, mainly because when, you know, we talk about at the recovery center, we help people with addictions and mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of people think in order to qualify as having a mental health issue, you have to be diagnosed and medicated.
Right.
For completely something not like, true. Mm-hmm. a bipolar mm-hmm. Or a schizoaffective disorder.
Right.
Or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not
right.
exclusively that.
Not at all. And I think when I think of addiction versus mental health, I think the core and sort of the foundational pieces that start there stems from mental health.
Oh, it's, absolutely.
You know, like, I didn't have a substance when I was 3 hiding in the closet from my dad having a rageful fit when I didn't want to get hit with something he was throwing. That wasn't a substance.
Right.
That was a behavior that turned into a mental health coping behavior.
Right, exactly.
You know, I own a daycare and I do a lot of child development stuff. And from the age of 0 to 3 is the time that kids are programmed for all of their social and emotional skills for the rest of their lives. And sadly, in today's world, there's a lot of harm that goes on in those first developmental years, and you can't undo it. You just have to build healthier patterns. I think of it as like overlaying. It's hard work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you can only do it once you recognize it.
Absolutely. And I didn't recognize it.
Self-awareness.
Uh-huh.
In AAA, we said self-awareness didn't do us a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to rely on, well, the second step came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was an alcoholic long before I went to AA. I knew
right.
at a minimum, I knew I drank alcoholically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get up in the morning and you can't decide whether you want red or white wine on your Cheerios, you may have a drinking problem.
Right. And I'm like over here laughing about it. And, you know, you have this great big smile on your face. But it's not funny when you live there.
Exactly.
It's different in the reality of the experience and actually in the dysfunction of that.
Right.
You just can't decide.
Right. So the lifestyle, I knew where I was, but I didn't know what to do about it.
Right.
I tried a lot of things. None of it worked.
Well, I think if we could all figure it out on our own, we would. At least with my experience, I didn't like the pain I was going through. I didn't like the habits that I had. I didn't like the choices that I was making. I didn't like the consequences of those choices. I didn't like that pain. I didn't want to be there, but I didn't know how to change it. And I think that for me, Celebrate Recovery was the best first step in the past 4 years of my life. It gave me tools and relationships and a safe place to really learn about myself and change my life.
You know what? I think we'll take just a short break here, have a sip of water or whatever, and we'll come back and we'll talk about your life now and how wonderful and terrific it is.
Sounds great.
All righty.
A worried man with a worried mind. No one in front of me and nothing behind. There's a woman on my lap and she's drinking champagne. Got white skin, got assassin's eyes. I'm looking up into the sapphire tinted skies. I'm well dressed, waiting on the last train. Standing on the gallows with my head in the news. Any minute now I'm expecting all hell. People are crazy and talks are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. This place ain't doing me any good. I'm in the wrong town, I should be in Hollywood. Just for a second there I thought I saw something move. Gonna take dancing lessons to the jitterbug rag. Ain't no shortcuts, gonna dress in drag. Only a fool here would think he's got anything. A lot of water under the bridge, a lot of other stuff too. Don't get up, gentlemen, I'm only passing through. People are crazy, times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. Been walking 40 miles, a bad road. If the Bible is right, the world will explode. I've been trying to get as far away from myself as I can. Some things are too hot to touch. The human mind can only stand so much. You can't. with the first woman I meet. Putting her in a wheelbarrow and wheeling her down the street. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. Just don't show it. You can hurt someone and not even know it. The next 60 seconds could be like an eternity. Gonna get low down, gonna fly high. All the truth in the world adds up to one big lie. I'm in love with a woman that don't even appeal to me. Mr. Jinx and Miss Lucy, they jumped in a lake. I'm not that eager to make a mistake. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed.
And welcome back. You're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in beautiful Moscow, Idaho. And I am Radio Johnny, and I'm in here in the Lata Recovery Center conference room / recording studio. And I'm here with Genevieve, and Genevieve and I have been talking about how our programs have helped us grow from people struggling with me with an addiction to alcohol, and her with some personal habits and hurts that she worked through Celebrate Recovery to help her recognize and hopefully resolve, mm-hmm. at least as far as we have gone here. So, hey, Genevieve, why don't we shift gears and talk a little bit about what things are like today. We kind of covered where you came from early on and what flipped the switch, so to speak, for you to go into the CR program and find a different way to live and do things.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you up to these days?
These days, I guess maybe the question is, what am I not up to? But
yeah, that's a good point.
I might have to work on being a workaholic.
Ah.
But I can say I run a daycare and I'm also a realtor, so I am busy. I have learned, though, that the skills that I learned in CR, which I always refer to as how to be a safe person, are really just skills that I take with me wherever I go in life. So I deal with a lot of people of different ages with different needs and different developmental abilities. I've learned to be pretty flexible. And one thing I also recovered from was codependency. So I've also learned to say no and set boundaries and set limits, which I needed to set for myself. And, you know, that's been really healthy for the daycare. Just using those tools and even teaching the kids those tools and phrases has been really great. It's grown my business. My daycare specifically, no one can see me, but I'm using air quotes. I take those kids, right?
So right.
The kids that have gotten kicked out, I've had chairs thrown at me, I'm cursed at, like all these things, but it happens once or twice because it's a test. Person mm-hmm. safe. Is she gonna leave? Because
yeah.
there's been abandonment. Like mm-hmm. I work through a lot of hard traumas with these kids, and it's amazing to see them grow, but I got a lot of those skills from Celebrate Recovery. And
right.
it's amazing because when they grow, there's this ripple effect. The whole family's affected. And it's been a great community outreach. It's been a great referral source for Restoration Night. And there's childcare there. So now these kids get these consistent skills from me and my staff, and then they get them at Restoration Night, and their parents are learning them. So there's this huge, like, generational change.
Oh, it's a paradigm shift.
Totally. And it is the most amazing thing to watch their lives change. And I have staff from all over, right, from different, I want to say, walks of life that have come from different experiences. And one of my favorite things is that they'll talk about things that they learned at daycare, but they talk about watching the transformation in the kids and the parents. Because a lot of the kids have been around for over a year, right? Mm-hmm. So what started with this angry behavior where there were literally chairs being thrown and, you know, having to clear out a room goes to, we're going to have a hard conversation now. And this kid learning to say, my feelings were hurt. And, you know, really being able to express their emotions in a healthy way. They know how to take a break. They'll say, I need some space. And I'm like, wow, man, I wish I could do that when I was 6 or 8 or 10 or, right. You know, or whatever it was. So there's just this amazing growth from just learning to be a healthy person and sort of lead by example. In real estate, I'm dealing with adults and money and finances and relationships. So that can be tense when things...
And there are chairs thrown and there are...
Well, I haven't... maybe that's after I leave. possibly. You know, but dealing with people can be hard and challenging. And with the skills that I have now, I'm able to help calm people down, or I can recognize their behaviors is coming from a bad past experience that they had. And again, it's modeling, it's reflecting, it's healthy communication, it's helping people problem solve without telling them what to do. Right. And that is also an example of, you know, that skill set as well. And when people have choices, you know, they're not backed into a corner. They don't have to be reactive. I mean, just learning to live that way has been amazing in all aspects of my life, in friendships, in business, just everywhere, even with my kids, you know, mm-hmm. offering them options, giving them some power there, helping them think through situations that for me might feel really silly. You know, if my toddler's throwing herself on the floor because I used the wrong color bowl today, you know,
right.
But for her, that's her capacity and that's right. her focus. And that is her big deal right now. So getting to her level and, right. you know, sort of accepting where she is and saying, okay, well, what are our choices?
Right.
You know let's use some words.
I've contended for a long time that, you know, you have to take a written test and a skills test to drive a car.
But not to have kids.
Not to have kids.
And anyone can make a baby.
Anyone can make a baby.
Right.
And unfortunately, they do.
Right.
But we'll consider that a learning opportunity. Yeah, I friends from my past that have had children probably before they were ready to handle it, and they didn't have their acts together very well,
right.
And fortunately the kids are not in prison yet, and no, they're actually grown and having children of their own now. Thank God for them. They're dealing with it absolutely right. differently than their parents did.
Absolutely. Every time I learn something new, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go apologize to my kids, because I know before I learned the healthy way, I was a little dysfunctional there. And it's good for them to hear and see that humility and owning that, you know, because then they can go, oh, wow, my mom is growing, is changing. They learn that skill too. And I can say, how did I hurt you? Or how can I help you recover from that? There was one moment in my house that was ridiculously funny where my kids were talking to me about some things that I had done in the past. And I go, well, I'll pay for your counseling. My teenager goes, you already do.
And I said, at least I'm ahead of the game.
no doubt about it. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I was fortunate to have an experience. My mother actually got into recovery and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous
mm-hmm.
late in life, but it was the last 10 years of her life, mm-hmm. she was sober. The difference I saw in her was night and day. Because mm-hmm. I had really only ever known her as pretty much a daily, day-long drinker. She had an incident where she had gastritis, which is, you know, a raging stomach ulcer with lots of bleeding. And typically most people bleed to death.
Oh, wow.
Internally from that. Mm-hmm. She managed to survive. Thank God the doctors in that hospital in California said, you know, this is directly related to your drinking. And we really mm-hmm. suggest that you go up to the fifth floor of this building mm-hmm. where we have a rehabilitation facility. Mm-hmm. Back in those days, Alcoholics Anonymous was a known entity. This was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It was a known entity, and this particular hospital had a great relationship with AA. They brought meetings in. They brought people in who were really willing to run the meetings and mm-hmm. sponsor people in those meetings to help them get along. My mother met her lifelong friend and sponsor there, mm-hmm. and the world changed for her and me and right. my sisters
right.
because we all got to know somebody mm-hmm. that we hadn't, well, that personally I had never met,
right.
and somebody, because there's such a big age gap between me and my older sisters, they knew her before the alcoholism got to a really horrible stage. Mm-hmm. There's 7, 12, and 14 years in between us, mm-hmm. but they got to re-know somebody they had right. known in the past. Mm-hmm. As if somebody coming back from the dead.
Right, and I mean it is. I feel like there's such a difference between surviving and thriving.
Right, exactly.
And seeing so many people's lives change through Celebrate Recovery, it's inspiring. You know, I have a lot of friends that I'm like, I don't know why you're not dead from your story.
Right, exactly.
You know, I love you. This is amazing. And to see some of the things that my friends have gone through to where they are now is just, I want to call it miraculous because of my faith base. Like, I don't know how or why.
Right.
But they're sharing their lives. They're sharing their stories. They're helping other people go through the same thing. And I think, at least for me, I have learned that my hardest times are the best ones to sort of share to help other people, because then they're not alone.
Yeah, I know for a fact that me and my friends gave our guardian angels several strokes uh-huh. during our what I like to refer to as our misspent youth. And the fact that we were saved to go on and do what we are all doing today. Mm-hmm. I'd say out of, you know, you really only ever have a core of maybe a half a dozen friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, those
the
real friends.
Yeah.
You know, the definition where a friend will come and get you out of jail, uh-huh. but a really good friend will be sitting next to you going, man, we screwed up.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, of those six, one of them has passed. Mm-hmm. One of them is kind of still out there in the wind hanging on mm-hmm. by a thread. Mm-hmm. And four of them are in recovery mm-hmm. through different means. Mm-hmm. Three of us are recovering in AA and NA, and one of them just found Jesus uh-huh. and just in time. He also does AA and CODA, mm-hmm. Codependence
yep.
Anonymous.
Yep.
I don't want to say he's way more screwed up than I am, but he did ask me to sponsor him, so there's an indicator. Actually, I was the first one to get sober, and all of those people that managed to get into recovery have told me that they were influenced by the fact I went into recovery because they all had a pool going that, you know, who was going to die first.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they decided to switch it to see who was going to get into recovery last.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, yeah, just having, you know, having been able to be there for them is a testimony to what you can accomplish
right.
in recovery. And it sounds mm-hmm. like you're doing that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, with your children.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing I've learned is I don't know who's watching.
Right.
I don't know who else I'm influencing. I only know, you know, my own little circle of life and who I do see every day and who I mm-hmm. talk to, but that's not who's watching. That's not the ripple effect. That's not what good skills these kids take to school. Everyone that is influenced in a healthy way goes out into the world. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah. You know, if you want to see what kind of influence you actually exert on the world every day, believe it or not, I do this. Whenever I am out in public, mm-hmm. I smile.
Oh, yeah.
I smile all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I look people directly in the eyes mm-hmm. while I'm smiling.
Mm-hmm.
95% of them smile back.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea how their day's going.
Right.
Maybe it was going crappy, and all of a sudden somebody smiled at them. And mm-hmm. it's like, that's nice.
Absolutely. I think I want to call it energy. I don't know if that's the right word, but like we take our energy with us and we absolutely influence other people with it. And, you know, negative energy without good skills can just weigh on you. You know, someone will sort of pump that your way and then your day goes to poop too. But I think with some skills, you're like, oh man, they're having a rough day. Maybe I'll buy them a coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to take that on and I can do something positive in return.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, we are just about at the end of our time here. So I want to thank you, Genevieve, for coming in.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's been great. I love coming on the show and just, you know, sharing success and love and hope for people. So
yeah, and that's what really what we're all about here is to mm-hmm. Let people know there's light on the other side.
Right.
And if they can crack the door open, mm-hmm. if this show just gives them a peek
right.
into what the other side can look like,
right.
then we win.
Yeah, and there's people on the other side. You're not alone on the other side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. There's no
walk through the door.
I know when I was out there, I was the only one on this side of the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, fantastic. Thanks again, Genevieve. And again, our hopes and prayers go out to Denise and her family that everything's going smooth. And I'll close with my usual, you know, if you think you have a problem with drugs or alcohol or mental health issues, you do.
Don't matter. if you're by my side.